Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello.
Hey, hey, how's everybody?
This is Dr. John Stamey, and we are here at Blog Talk Radio and, of course, Pro Wrestling Interviews. We're so glad to have everyone here. We've got, as I see it, Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. Hope you're all doing well.
We are glad to have you here. And Steve Logan, the professor of wrestling, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, doing good. Had a good open mat. And
that's great. And of course, the guy that's going to lead this great conversation, Todd Saxon from Indianapolis, Indiana. How are you doing tonight? Are you there, Todd Saxon?
Hot tag.
Well, he either is or is not. And we have a caller from area code 706. Who is that?
It's Sinister.
Sinister.
Hi, Sinister.
From 706. one of my favorite area codes. Because I do a lot of business up there with the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. We're so glad to have you here. So how is everyone doing? Papa Stro, what have you got going on? I mean, just tell us what's happening with you.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll tell you all later before we sign off about the WCW retro topic and the feature for Friday Night Strozone. But as far as events go, this coming weekend, I'll be seeing you, Dr. John, at the Power Comic Con in Florence, South Carolina. Looking forward to seeing everybody there in Florence. PowerComicCon.com, place to find out more info on that. We'll be there from 10 to 5, I think, at the Florence Center in Florence, South Carolina. And then the following weekend, oh my goodness, the following weekend, I'm going to be at the Charlotte Comic Con in Concord, North Carolina, Embassy Suites in Concord, North Carolina, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'll be there with the fellow cast, the Devil's Daughter, Harlequin Story. And also, I might have a special event in the area that night I'll be dropping in on, so I'll keep you guys informed on that. And then I think April 2nd, I'm going to be at the Marion Comic-Con and Municipal Event Center in Marion, North Carolina. Be there at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. With that. So if you're in Marion, come check us out April 2nd. So, lots going on. And like I said, later on,
we'll do the plugs later on,
I'll give you the more info on the upcoming WCW Retro and Strozo. Yeah, thanks a lot.
that sounds great. And I will be at the Florence Civic Center at the at the Power Comic Con, and I will be at the Charlotte Comic Con, and I will be at the Marriott. Papa Stro, I'm going to see you every weekend. It's going to be great.
Oh, man. Small world indeed.
Absolutely. It's going to be wonderful. Now, is Todd, the world-famous Todd Saxon from Pop Culture Stars, is he with us?
I am. Apparently my headset did not sync, so I went to ye olde speaker.
Well, we're glad you're here to lead us in this great pro wrestling interviews talk. And we've got Sinister, we've got Papa Stro, we've got Steve, and we've got you and me. So get us started. I tell you what, it's so good to have you here. And I'll say that, you know, we can't do it without you.
Oh, I'm sure you'll find a way, but that's beside the point. Hey, I know a bunch of things going on. I know we had some interesting tech thing for Sinister with the phone provider last week, trying to get in and trying to feed questions via other media means and stuff. And I know he had some questions he wanted to bring up last week. But I'm going to hit the panel with some stuff that I heard, and I don't know how legit it is. I understand Scott Hall's had a ton of complications from post-hip replacement surgery. Is that right? You guys heard anything on that?
Yes, it's all over the news, yeah. Todd. Life support and everything, man. He's on life support right now. He needs our prayers, man. He had 3 heart attacks last night, apparently.
Yeah, I saw a blurb that said complications, but 3, yeah, for sure. With thoughts, prayers, and good karma his way. Good grief. From a hip replacement. I showed you that nothing is routine. That's sad. And something I think I saw, I'm going to say I saw it late week. Did I see that Stone Cold Steve Austin did sign for WrestleMania?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
I think the rumor was it was supposed to be a match, but now it's more like a confrontation segment.
Okay, so at least in some role or other, he will be there. That's
the main thing. Yeah. The fact that he's there will be big.
Yeah. They say he's been working on a lot of his cardio, so I think he does plan to give a good show. So they say he's doing a lot of cardio trying to get himself back up in shape.
Wow.
Can't wait.
That's
yeah.
Just his presence, I think, will be a lesson in so many ways for the current generation.
Yeah, I know Shane McMahon tried to get Hulk Hogan to do a match against him in WrestleMania, but Hogan said he's not going to ever wrestle again because he's just now getting himself back together. And that was another thing they tried to do, but Steve Austin he's definitely going to put on a good show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he can teach so many lessons. Go ahead, Papa.
I think putting him with Kevin Owens is pretty smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, why is that such a good mix, Papa Stro?
Kevin's a veteran, man. He's been the veteran for many years, and he'll look out for Steve, and the fact that they both use the same finisher, that's a story in itself. So.
Yeah, stunner.
Yep. Speaking of Scott Hall, was the guy, Big E. They said Big E had broke his neck or suffered from a broken neck from SmackDown. So I think he's going to be out for a little bit. You say the good news was he don't have to get surgery, but I think he's going to be out for a little while. So that's Bobby Lashley.
Right.
It's
that was scary when I saw that go down, man. I'm like, yikes.
Yeah, man.
It's been unfortunate for Big E lately, losing the title, getting injured, and both him and Bobby Lashley got injured recently, so a bummer that Mania.
And those were the guys, those are the guys that are carrying the WWE taping for most of this year or so. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I'm glad they're okay, but boy, yeah, that's something.
Yeah.
Sound like the positive take was no surgery required, but that is still just man, got to be careful. Good grief! There's no end to starting off the show with mostly negative news. Sorry about that, people. That's just thoughts and prayers for those that need it, including the proper host of the show, the Amazing Velvet.
Yes.
Yeah. Prayers out to him, too.
Yeah. Definitely a thoughts and prayers for him. Now, I was going to add to earlier, I think Taz said it best in his tweet about guys that are inexperienced and don't know how to deliver suplexes properly. Delivering a suplex is more about balance and technique rather than strength. And just because a guy is strong doesn't necessarily mean that he can execute a proper suplex. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
It takes training, like anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I was awful looking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to, like you say, you have to have training and use technique and know where you are and where you do it, because – you know, if it's not a neck, it depends on where the guy land. It could be a leg, you know.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, those suplexes, man, they, if you're not where you need to be, to anybody that's listening, I mean, you know, to the amateur guys, you know, independent guys, if they shouldn't do it if they're not aware of their surroundings.
Amen.
Yeah. But
praise the Velvet, man. You know, we're with you, brother. Stay strong. We love you, man.
We do.
And I'll tell you what, we love Velvet, and I call him about every day, and this is Dr. John, and I call him about every day, and I check on him, because you know what? We love the Amazing Velvet. He has done so many great things for the world of wrestling, and we just love him to death. So that's all I've got to say about Velvet. We just love him.
Most of it. I love that. We do. See?
Yeah.
That's on a positive note. I love it. The I know last week, Sinister, you had some stuff you had wanted to try to talk about before you ran into the phone service provider issues. And happy to see that that's resolved for you, brother. The you remember what it was you wanted to go over? Is it?
Yeah, one thing that's recent that I definitely want to talk about. Tony Khan has bought Ring of Honor, which, you know, it's good that, you know, Ring of Honor got getting a little bit more exposure. But my question is, you got Ring of Honor, you got AEW, you got all these all this talent, but you can't use everybody. You just can't use everybody. And I'm trying to figure out what in the world does he plan to do with all these people? Because, you know, they're crossing over, and you know, you got upcoming new guys, and then you got people still trying to get in. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how is he going to balance that. And then I know he has money, but still, you know, with every company, every promoter, you know, you only got a budget that's so big.
And if you want to keep your main stars like Sting, Jericho, Moxley, those are big money guys, and you got to keep them happy in order to keep them there. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, does Tony Khan has that much money, or what is he trying to do? You know, I'm trying to get everybody's thoughts on that.
Well, it seems like he still wants to run Ring of Honor, which is why I'm glad that he's owning it, because I figure if WWE has it, they might not run it or not run it very long. But him purchasing it, the video library, we can possibly get an HBO first type deal. And, yeah, I just wonder how the Ring of Honor roster is going to look, too, because, you know, before the relaunch, they released their roster and just had champions. So it'll be interesting to see if he uses a lot of the underutilized talent that he has and puts them on Ring of Honor, or puts guys like Punk, Bryan, or Lethal on there to make Ring of Honor feel special again. I think they're running shows, so I think they're going to probably rebrand a little bit. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering myself. That's a big move, you know. Yeah,
but
hopefully everything, you know, he'll be successful with that. You know, I'm just looking to see how overwhelmed he is with a lot of talent.
I think someone like be a good guy to help him with that. I think there's people that can help him, but yeah, I think Tony is going to have a tough time if he wants to promote both. I think he might need some. The dude, like a Regal.
Oh, you'll definitely have to delegate authority, because that's just too much for one guy to do. I'm sorry, you know what I mean? It's hard enough to run a promotion by himself, but like two promotions, okay. You know what I mean? You'll go crazy. You'll be bald by next year if that happens.
Right. Because, you know, that's a lot of people, a lot of problems, and a lot of complaints, you know. Just like, for example, I know him and Cody Rhodes had an issue because Cody wanted the same type of money that CM Punk was getting. And, you know, Tony Khan was like, you know, hey, Val, you know, pump your brakes now. You know, I just pulled this guy in, and he's a bigger name, a bigger draw than you. And on that issue, I think, don't get me wrong, Cody Rhodes, he's good, but he's not what I would call a Steve Austin or a Hulk Hogan type deal, because CM Punk, all right, people like CM Punk. I'm not a fan of CM Punk, but I see how he draws money. And I don't know if it's just the money thing Cody Rhodes had got into an argument with about Tony Khan with, or it's a jealousy thing, or if it's just ego.
It might be ego and cash, because one of the reasons I heard was him getting stripped away kind of was a reason for him to possibly leave, because I think he wanted booking.
How about you guys? But I think I only got about every other word. Could you do that again, Steve, please?
Oh, I was saying that one of the rumors was that Cody was upset that he didn't have as much power as he used to in terms of producing or promoting that Tony Khan kind of takes the credit for himself for producing the show, booking the show, and I think Cody wants to be more involved behind the scenes, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I can see, you know, one reason why, but Cody also got to realize that, you know, Tony's the boss. You know, it's his company. He's the one that's pushing all this money behind all these people. And then at the same time, I think they said people backstage was having an issue with his wife, Brandy. I don't know exactly what's going on with that. I don't know if she had something to do with the bookings or, you know, how things should be run. And it was just rumors being said that those two are not very much they're not very much liked backstage. And I guess it's like what you call creative control and different things like that. So Cody leaving AEW, going to the WWE, you know, I understand that they've been doing a lot of signing paperwork, but at the same time, they're trying to put him with, I don't want to say Edge. I think it is, not Edge, but who? Say that again.
Seth Rollins.
Yeah, Seth Rollins. You know, for a WrestleMania event, but now they have more confusion because Cody Rhodes is not happy with that. And everything is just up in the air right now. So I don't know what this guy wants or what he's expecting, because I guess he's a bit embarrassing.
That wouldn't work for Seth Rollins. He's like one of the top guys in the company. I mean, how can you complain about that? Oh my God.
I don't know if he's complaining about Rollins. I think the rumor is that he could either just be angling for more money from AEW or I don't know. There's not much to go on other than WWE are not certain yet if he's like 100% that's fine is what I've heard.
I was going to say, I mean, my God, I mean, oh, goodness.
So hiring about a possible feud with a top-tier name ain't good enough?
I guess not. I don't know what this guy's problem is, man.
Oh, man. Unreal.
Yeah.
Who knows, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess his character has really gotten to his head or whatever, believing his own hype. So I'd be happy if I could just get $300,000 a year, and these guys making millions.
Oh my God, right? Unreal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember being on military funds and being at least be able to afford a T-shirt because the tickets were reasonable and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, I feel like so much of that stuff is being just priced out of the everyday Joe's hand.
Yeah, it is.
And it's, look, we don't begrudge people making some decent, you know, we want everybody to be able to make money, make the bank, do well. That's, you know, I'd rather have more people doing it than less, just saying. But good grief.
Oh God! You got Jericho and Punk making millions of dollars a year with that company, and they're not the only ones either. So I mean, if you can imagine the money that's being lended out these guys, some of these top tier guys, it's insane. It really is.
Yeah, and they're getting treated well. I mean, first class. first class service, flights, hotels, paid travel, just everything.
And, I'll give you an example with WCW, man. When Hall and Nash were there, they were getting paid $1,000 a day, whether they worked or not. Imagine that, getting $1,000 a day, whether you do anything, show up, or just... and that's not counting what everybody else is making, right? And wow. I know myself, I wasn't getting paid nearly what they were, right? But when I was getting paid, I wasn't complaining at all. I was happy as can be. I was content. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I was just happy to be there.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I get it. I mean, you know, your people that are being a draw, they're getting people into the gate. They're getting viewers, whether, you know, for whether it's the, how do I want to say, you know, regular televised things or whether it's pay-per-views. These people are bringing, you know, they're getting a few more in. But let me tell you, a good creative crew, getting those storylines out there, making the right feuds, making things interesting that somebody that might not want to watch, or that might be that creative crew can make the difference between somebody deciding how much money they want to spend on a pay-per-view, because they have really built this thing up, and man, darn it, I'm going to spend the money. I want to see what's going to happen. And those guys will never make that kind of bank. But, you know, and you've got guys out there in the ring like Papa Stroh, you said, you talked about folks that may or may not have to work. But you had guys that were making money that were out there working really hard on a regular basis.
And then you had guys like Flair, who were the founding fathers of the company, right? And he wasn't getting paid nearly as much as Luger and all them. They were getting paid more than he was.
You kidding me?
No.
Wait a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean tell me Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, 16-time world champion, was getting paid less than Luger and all these other guys?
Oh, yeah. You know, Rick's even said it several times. It was crazy. And it, even when I was there with him, it was the way they were treating him and everything, it was just blowing my mind. So why in the world are they treating Rick like this? You know, I mean, him and Dusty, Harley, you know what I mean? All those guys paved the way, you know what I mean? I never understood that.
I can't understand it neither. Because Ric Flair, I mean, just like you said, if it went for guys like him, you know, we might not even be in this business today.
Absolutely.
That is beyond true. Love him or hate him, dude. He kept his main persona, the kind of back to something Papa Stroh said many a time, to yourself be true. But whether it was the flair for the gold or, you know, doing stuff as a horseman against, you know, your favorite babyface, pretty much him. And he made the show so there's a reason he was a headline. I'm just saying.
Well, Flair went into detail. Rick has even said himself that, you know, he was responsible for them bringing in Hogan, right? He told the Bischoff bringing Hogan would be a great idea, would be good for the company, right? But when they got Hogan in, a lot of political stuff went down, and I'm there doing some of it, right? And I'm seeing them, the way they treat Rick, like he tried to bury him. Literally bury him out in the middle of nowhere at one time, put him in a crazy house, dancing with the inmates and doing all this silly stuff with Rick and had the NWO beat up the Horsemen and all this, and I'm thinking, and had, you know, the whole Kurt Hennig turn. You remember when Kurt Hennig turned on the Horsemen and he beat him up at the War Games deal, and Rick's still hanging in, man. And I'm thinking, why in the world are they doing this to Rick, man? You know what I mean? I just never understood why all the creative politics, and that's exactly what it was just politics, because, I mean, I just thought some of the things they did was kind of disrespectful, honestly, but that's just me.
What management was this? Was this Jim Herd? Was this Eric Bischoff? Like, what period was this?
Oh, this was it wasn't just Bischoff. It was Russo and the other Tom, Dick, and Harry that came through the door, right, that replaced them. You know, it's like they just never gave Rick his proper due. You know what I mean? I mean, I know Herd had his problems with Rick a while back, but that's why Rick left. But, I mean, just the things they did politically with Rick, you know, I was just like, you know, come on. I think it was mainly at the time, I think him and Bischoff had some dissension about something, and I never understood where that came from, because I got along with both guys, right? Because Eric was the guy that hired me, and, you know, I got along with him, and I got along with Rick, but I always felt that tension there, you know what I mean? There was some kind of tension going on between the two at the time, and I couldn't put my finger on it, but I don't know. Just some of the things that went down, I just thought they could have treated Rick a lot more respect, but that's just me.
Let me take it from an everyday man perspective or stuff. I think we've all worked with people that we wouldn't necessarily want to go break bread with after work. But if they were good at their craft and they did their job, you'd be a moron not to give them their due and try to learn from them and all that kind of stuff. Still respect them and that stuff. We're just not necessarily drinking buddies. It's okay. But you don't treat people like crap just because they're not somebody you want to hang around with. That's an everyday perspective. You guys
are talking. And it's tough getting caught in the middle like that, especially when you get along with both parties. You know what I mean? Like, I got along with, you know, Scott and most of the clique, even though Kevin Nash made some corny jokes from time to time. And, you know, well, God bless him. I love him to death. But some of the jokes he makes, he thinks it's funny, but you kind of scratch your head, kind of wait for the punchline. But, you know, but he's cool, you know. But I got along with them. You know, and you know, got on with Eric and a lot of the guys, and like even when, like back when Benoit and Sullivan had their feud, right? It put guys like myself and Barbarian, if you're listening to type spot, because we got along with both of them, right? With Benoit and Sullivan, you know, and so we just hated it when, you know, both parties had that the heat and dissension. But you know, going back to Rick, man, I've like him, Dusty, Hurley, and the Funks, Briscoes, guys like that, man. If it weren't for them, you know, we wouldn't have a NWA, WCW, you know, what have you, right? So it's just like, man, sometimes you just look at things going. I know they're trying to do change at the time, and which is cool, you know what I mean? And that was like when the NWO was going strong, Goldberg, Sting, and you know, Diamond Dallas Page was doing his thing. And, I mean, everybody, this was great, you know. It's just, even with all that going on, I still think Rick should have got the homage that, you know, he deserved.
Yeah, he should have, because, you know, every time I look at Ric Flair, I can just see the years of frustration and just, you know, like you said, the disrespect that he's gotten all his career. And I really don't get it, because don't get me wrong, Lex Luger, he looked good in the ring, you know, when he was in his career, and he was the total package and all. But if you compare Luger to Flair, you know, no disrespect to Lex Luger, Flair was that guy. He could wrestle. He had charisma, and his promos was just out of this world.
Right.
You know. And, you know, the only one that I could see that promos came close to his was The Rock's. But it's just, it's sad, man. It's really sad because
watching a Piper promo, watching, the all these guys that could do everything, didn't, and again, and you guys talked about some of the technical stuff. They started asking people to do a bunch of shows, and they kind of said, hey, limit some of the stuff you do in the ring. You never really saw Flair get limited with a lot of what he did.
Oh, no. He gave you a show. He definitely gave you a show.
Matter, it didn't matter if he was wrestling, doggone it, I'm drawing a blank on the name. They were, they're gone. You don't see him anymore. But they were those guys that would go out there just to get beat every week.
The enhancement journeyman.
Journeyman, they were.
If it weren't for the horse bumping for Luger and Sting and making him look like $1 million, we wouldn't have a Sting or a Luger or Nikita or all that being big time stars. The horsemen made those guys household names.
Yeah. It definitely did that. Definitely. It just, man, it's that just breaks my heart right there, man.
Yeah.
See, I had no idea that he was nowhere near making the money that some of those other muggles did. Luger had
not
that
many did. Not many did.
Tough the way he was built, but in the ring, he was never exciting to watch.
Yeah, not many did. Honestly, when it was happening, not many did realize that Rick wasn't. I mean, I thought Rick was one of the highest. When I first got there, I thought at first Rick was one of the highest paid guys there. He was right there with Hogan and the rest of them, right? But I was wrong.
Gracious. I mean,
well,
I mean, Hogan.
Let me ask a silly question on that. Do you think he had signed a contract and he had just got hosed at that point where kind of the money kind of a timing thing, if you will? He had signed a decent long-term contract that was solid at the day, signed it, but suddenly the paradigm shift for the money involved, and maybe he got hosed that way. Could have been just pure dumb luck that caused that.
Well, I'll give it to you like this. As much as Rick has contributed inside and outside the ring with them, he should have got paid 10 times over what he got. That's because he did so much for that company. I mean, matter of fact, he knew what was going on with the company more than the office did. I'll tell you an example. This one time I saw him, and we were talking, and Elliot Murnick walked in. And I think he was somebody gave him Rick a list of the house show figures, and he's like thumbing through the pages, and he's like shaking his head, going, "My God, what are they doing?" And I knew right then that wasn't good. Rick knew what was up more than people realized.
Yep, and I would think even if it had been crap timing or something, your guy, because from what I understand, and Papa Stroh, you'd be the one to know this, I understand that he could throw out an idea onto somebody's creative stream that they had going on with people, and it would get picked up a lot. He wasn't trying to say, hey, you have to do this. He would say, he was more a, hey, did you think about this? And he would do those kinds of things. Let's call that an intangible contribution.
Well, Dusty was a master of that, too.
Why wouldn't you renegotiate one of your gold mines?
Well, that's a very good question, but that office is like a revolving door, man. And every person that came through that office wanted to do something different or do something against what the other was doing, and that's why things couldn't really get together at the time because nobody wanted to be on the same team, if you get my drift.
Hey, it's true.
Yeah.
I want to change subject really bad. Is there
okay.
I sent you that message about Pete Dunne getting his name changed to Butch. How bad are some of these name changes? Is it just a WWE thing or is it a pro wrestling thing? Because I know you couldn't use Gorgeous George in WCW, so can you talk about name changes and how bad they can be?
Oh, God. Well, yeah, that's the thing. For the first year in WCW, contractually, rather, they had me be Gorgeous George, and then all of a sudden, you know, the girlfriend came to picture of Randy, and, you know, but turning negative to positive, that's how Maestro got created. But with the Butch situation, and it's kind of a weird position because you have the NXT there, and you work hard to establish the name there, you know, sampling, you know, Cross and a few others, and then you get to the main roster, and they just change your whole deal altogether. You know what I mean? It's definitely a creative deal on their part, and it's one that, you know, I don't really fully understand why they, you know, especially when NXT and the main roster are all a part of the same team. You know what I mean? So you would think they would keep up with each other's product, but In a situation like Pete Dunne, I mean, the whole world knows who Pete Dunne is, you know, through NXT and UK and his international travels and all.
The roster is Pete.
That's right. So it's a creative decision on their part, and I mean, I don't fully understand why they went what they did, but that looks like that's apparently what they're going with. So.
Yeah, because it seems like it happens frequently with the NXT brand, and I'm just wondering, like, if it's a pro wrestling issue and that's the WWE issue.
Well, I think it kind of goes back to the NXT transition to 2.0, right? They're trying to die away from all the black and gold NXT decisions and stars and all that. So it may have something to do with that. I can't. You know, etch it in stone or anything, but it may have something to do with that.
Yeah.
I'm just theorizing it.
My only guess is that they like to own names, so they just go with these name changes. But it's weird how selective they are.
That's true. They love to own you. They own you any way they can.
Yep.
Well, you know,
Go ahead.
You good? Go ahead.
I think it was Matt Jackson that said wrestling fans are a toxic fandom. Do you have any thoughts on that? And I would say they still are, but in a different way. Because like decades ago, you used to have guns, knives, sound from fans, and like now it's online. Trolling. Is there any thoughts on that? On how toxic or negative wrestling fandom can be?
I think you just answered part of your question. With it being the social media age now, and that some years back, you know, you didn't have the troubles you have now, and now you have technology, social media, and hardly everything's kept kayfabe or secret these days. Like, you'll know something before it happens a lot sooner nowadays than you would before. I think that's a lot to do with it. and the fact that, you know, we're all into each other's business, it seems, these days. You know, with tweets and digging up stuff from years back to use against somebody, and it's the information age. Yeah, it's a different time, and sometimes a lot of times fans cease to be fans and more like stalkers and troublemakers and all that. So
yeah, you're right.
It's just like back then. They would do it other ways, like either they'd follow you around, literally stalk you, or just, you know, like I said, attack you in certain ways. But nowadays, instead of attacking with physically, they'll go at you through social media means. So it is what it is.
Yeah, it happens to a lot of public figures, even George Harrison, you know.
Oh God, yes. I mean, if they did the stuff they did today back then, we all be in trouble. Those guys, those veterans back in the day, they would catch hell. Because we, you know what I mean? Oh God, all the partying back then that we did. Dear Lord.
Oh yeah, I mean, Terry Gordy. I've heard stories about him in Japan and how much havoc he can cause, but he still would be in demand for how good he was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was just, you know, different times.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, y'all, you brought up that subject, because one thing I wanted to ask everybody on the panel, the situation, I think, happened a few days ago or later on this week. I know everybody's familiar with the Briscoes, and they've been having their issues with WWE back and forth. You know, WWE wanted to sign them, then they don't want to sign them. Well, Jay Briscoe, you know, I don't know. I guess it was on the social media or Twitter thing account. I don't know if somebody asked them a certain question, and it had something to do with, you know, people's lifestyle as far as being, you know, straight or homosexual and different things like that. And he just made a comment about, you know, which I don't blame him, because I stand with the guy. I just wouldn't use the word violence, but he made a comment that if someone was trying to teach his children the alternate lifestyle, he would use violence against them. And, I mean, I can understand a man trying to protect his children, because if I had children, I'd protect them too. And I got the same beliefs, that spiritual beliefs he has, but I just wouldn't use the word violence. But what I can't get what really irritates me is that promoter or whoever it was that's kind of like over the ROH right now tried to publicly humiliate him, you know, by making him apologize and making him apologize at a show. And come to find out, I guess his boss happens to, you know, have that alternate lifestyle. Well, I can understand, you know, you just saying, you know, look, I meant this this way. He didn't say he was going to kill anybody or doing anything like that, but I think it was wrong for people to come on social media and to attack him for, you know, just having, you know, having his beliefs. And I don't like that he was being publicly humiliated by some of the higher-ups or RH. I mean, how you guys feel about that?
I don't know if he was being humiliated. I think people were just upset with what he said, and I mean, he apologized for it, so I don't know why. So I heard that it was an issue recently with the Warner Media, apparently not the reason why they're not in AEW right now is because, like, it's possibly because of the old tweet is what I heard, and I think that's ridiculous because he's already apologized for it years ago, so I don't know why it's still an issue.
You know, but what I wish we would do you know, I wish we would do this as a society, you know, honestly. And I know some of us have talked about this. I know, Steve, we even talked about the deal with Brian Kendrick. Remember they did, what they did to him? Wouldn't even let him on TV because of some tweet he made 10 years ago.
Well,
and he apologized for.
Yeah, it was like really weird conspiracy theories, and one of them was about the Holocaust. So I can understand why people would be upset, but it's so old. Why did it come up just now?
See, exactly. My point being, you know, it shouldn't matter what a person believes, as long as they can do their job well, right? And if they're not hurting anybody, then what's the problem? You know what I mean? If you're not hurting nobody, if a person believes a certain way, that, you know, that's on them. What they do outside of what their job is or whatever, you know, that's them. But if, as far as their job goes, if they're doing a great job of what they're doing and not hurting nobody in the process, then there shouldn't be an issue. You know what I mean? It really shouldn't.
Exactly.
You're 100% right, Papa Strove. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. John, we're near that time. We got to get it wrapped up, brother.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
We are at that time. We probably got to wrap up the show, good sir.
Yeah, we probably do. And but anyway, it's been a great show. So far, it really has. And
well,
I want to thank Sister and Papa Stro, and I want to thank Steve. We've had a great show tonight. So bring us home, okay, buddy?
Hey, Todd.
Fire it. Get it out there. This will be your parting shot, sir.
Stro, you got a Norman Smiley story? Because he was mentioned recently on Tuesday. And I need a Norman Smiley story.
All right, here we go. One time we're at the lounge after one of the events, right? And, you know, I was just meeting with everybody, and I bumped into Norman Smiley and Terry Funk. And it turned out they had a few drinks, right? And they were swapping cowboy hats, and Terry was inviting Norman to his family get-together. they're telling what each other was going to bring. Like the food they're going to bring to the family get together and have them sing alongs at the lounge. The pretty scene, you know, duet with Norman Smiley and Terry Funk was hilarious. Man, good stuff.
That's fun.
Okay, just two shows I got. This will be my parting shot. WCW Retro this Thursday night on VOCNation.com, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be talking about the greatest feuds in wrestling. So we have one of your great feuds that you want to share, call in, please. Should be a lot of fun. And then Friday night, the Stro Zone at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StroToMaestro. The feature will be The Brain That Wouldn't Die. So please tune in. And thank you for having me.
That is a great film, The Brain That Would Not Die. I mean, my God, it's like one of the greatest late 50s horror films of all time, and it's incredible. I'm so glad you're going to have that.
Thank you. I'm pretty excited.
Papa Stro digs deep for some of these shows. He definitely does. All right, Sinister, what you got, mate?
Not much, just training, open mat. Like, I had open mat today, so I'm basically just doing that all this week.
Very nice. And, well, let me ask while we got you, how you liking that new phone provider?
Oh, it's great. It is great. Boost Mobile. Well, I'm not going to say what I want to say to the podcast. I'm going to be respectful, but
yeah,
you know.
Say something nice about the new one, not something bad about the old one.
Yeah. Well, they're very crisp, and they're very, you know, they're very accurate. So
I'm happy with the new service right now.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good
Thank
to
you.
Go. The look, million things going on out there. We talked about the injury to Big E. We talked about the complications Scott Hall's having with the surgery. We know that there's some folks that are a little long in the tooth coming out to get involved in WrestleMania and stuff like that. Talk about the proper host of the show. This is still Velvet Show, by all means. The Amazing Velvet, all our love, brother. There's a million things going on out there. Some are better than others. Help each other out. Take care of one another. Stay positive. Big hugs. Dr. John, all yours.
Absolutely. Big hugs. And please take care of everyone, because you know what? Without you, whoever you are, we can't make it in this world without you. And that's great. And thanks so much to have Steve with us, to have Maestro with us, to have the Great Sinister with us. I mean, we're just so blessed to have a great cast of people to be with us. And you know, I just can't thank you guys enough. Other than the fact that I'm going to call you, I'm going to give you a call around, you know, when we're done, and I can thank you personally. But I tell you what, you guys are the best in the world, and we love, and this is whole thing is in the honor of Amazing Velvet, because he is, without a doubt, one of our best friends in the world. So want to say thanks to Amazing Velvet. We love him.
We do.
Yeah, love you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. John, before we sign off, who's our radio sponsors? I missed the bottom of the hour queue. Sorry.
Our sponsors are Transamerica, the greatest life insurance company in the world, the ninth largest company in the world, and we want to thank Transamerica for keeping us on the air, and we want to say thank you so much. So Transamerica is the best, and want to say thanks to everybody for being here with us, and we'll see you next week on the one, the only pro wrestling interviews. Absolutely. It'll be great.
Be safe, all. Take care of one another.
All right.
Take care and love you. Love everybody.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that British lady?
Create videos for your business with hundreds of templates designed to get.
That was not the British lady.
Here comes Jeff Danson. I'll save you, Matt.
Big hug. I don't know.